Amen. So beautiful, isn't it? To hear us praise the Lord and worship Him. What a good God we serve. Well, I am so excited about today's message. Yes. Because I got some interesting things to show you. Tell someone next to you. Interesting things? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible has so many things that we haven't really even discovered yet. And every week I try to bring you something new, something that God has showed me. Because I am retired, so I do get a chance to spend a lot of time with the Lord and get things that can encourage you, strengthen you, and give you victory in your life. Amen? That's what it's all about. We don't want to be some milquetoast, mamby-pamby, half-baked Christians living in desperation. We want to be victorious. Amen? Jesus never said, oh, you know, I've come to give you life and that with more poverty. No, with more victory, right? Abundantly. Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together today to hear your word, to hear wonderful truths that are in your Bible that you've given unto us. We ask you to bless the words of my mouth, bless the people that hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. So this month we're talking about the phrase, your faith has made you whole. And that word whole means healing, protection, deliverance, salvation, whole, spirit, soul, and body, your whole body. He didn't just come to save your spirit. He came to save your body, your mind. Get your mind straight. Get your mind thinking the right way. How many know our mind will run down the hill and run away from you? And you're like, come on back here. What are you doing? You know, get in line, okay? And I found out that you can take control over your mind. Your mind doesn't tell you what to do. You tell it what to think. Amen? Amen. Praise. Sometimes, you know, you go wandering, your mind is wandering, and you have to say, wait a minute, that's not of God. I've got to bring it back into line, bring every thought into captivity, right? Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about your faith has made you whole. Now, that verse, that phrase is used three times in the Bible. Jesus told some people, your faith has made you whole. But it's in other parts said in a different way. It was said like, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Or as you have believed, let it be done unto you. But he's saying your faith makes a difference. So that's what we're going to talk about, our faith. But really, it's not our faith. It's really the faith that God has given us. He said he has given each of us the measure of faith. And so we have the faith that we have to build it, make it strong, and be determined to believe God for what he has told us to do. And that's all that faith is, just believing what God has said. Now, that's a hard thing to do because in our mind we say, oh, I believe God. But it's not a mind thing. It's a heart thing. You have to get it down into your heart so that you can believe. Because everybody says, well, I know the Lord is going to heal me someday, but that's not the way he said it. He said, I have already healed you. By your stripes, we were healed. Amen? So when I got saved, I thought that was faith was the greatest invention of all time. You mean I could be down and out, I could have no money, no job, no place to live, but I can count on the Lord and he can change my situations just by believing in him. I said, this is wonderful. You got to be kidding me. Because when I got saved, I didn't have a house, an income, a job, or a place to live. And I had prior to that, I did, but I went the wrong way. How many of you go the wrong way sometimes? I went the wrong way for 10 years. And so finally, at the end of my rope, I said, listen, Lord, if you can make anything out of my life, you can have it now. And then I learned that you could believe God, that God in heaven can change the things here on earth by believing what he has promised us. Can I get an amen? Is that good news? Yeah. Hallelujah. So now, what I did is, when I said, Lord, you can have my life, I felt the love of God just flood my heart. I realized that I belonged to him and he belonged to me. And he was going to make all things work together for my good. So we find out that by faith, things can change. It's very important in our lives. And a lot of people say, do I have faith enough? Do you ever ask yourself, do I have enough faith to accomplish what I need to accomplish? And it's really not about your faith. It's all about putting the words of the Lord in your heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So when you have something that you're believing God for, you find the scripture that applies to it, and you keep saying it over and over. We're going to find that out in this lesson here. You just keep saying it over and over and over till it dips down into your heart. It's kind of like when, you know, when you were growing up and you heard a song that you like. What did you do? You kept listening to it over and over and over and over again. It got down into your heart, and you could sing it without and almost sound like the person that was singing it because it was so deep down in your heart. And even today, those songs keep popping up. You'd be walking down the store in the store, and a song will pop up in your mind. You go like, where did that come from? Well, it's deep down in you, and we have to get the words of the Lord deep down on the inside of us. Amen? So I want to tell you that this faith is not a mystery. It's not a mystique. It's not just like, do I have faith? Do you have enough faith? Have you seen my faith? No, faith is just believing steadfast in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to go to a scripture here. And we're going to see how this applies. And this is where it gets exciting. Let's look at Mark 5, verse 25. And we're going to see how this works in practicality. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. That's a long time, isn't it? And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Have you ever been to the doctor for 12 years? I'm almost getting there. I mean, after I retired, it seems like I always have more doctor's appointments than I have anything else. I got a dentist appointment, a doctor appointment, a blood test. I never used to have to go to the doctor. Now I know my medical record number by heart. It's crazy. And I even know the secretaries when I go to the doctor. Oh, hey, how you doing again? I'm coming here too many times, praise God. But she had a flow of blood, and she was considered unclean when you had a flow of blood. What does that mean? That means anything that you touched or any person that you touched was considered unclean. What does that mean? She can't have a family because she can't come near them. She can't have friends over to cook. Because if she touched any of the utensils, they would be considered unclean. She couldn't go out in public because she lived a separated, isolated life. How many of you want to do that? That was miserable for 12 years. Amen. And so when she heard about Jesus, verse 27, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if only I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She kept saying it over and over. She kept saying it over and over and over again. That's what we have to do. And Maggie can testify, when I was riding with her to Kaiser, I had trying to overcome some lymphoma cancer, and I was confessing over and over, by his stripes I'm healed. I command this tumor to leave in Jesus' name. To the point she got tired of me hearing it. She said, aren't you healed yet? What's the problem? I go, I'm trying, Maggie. Give me a break, okay? But that's what you have to do it until you're tired of saying it. And you don't get tired, you get stronger. You feel the faith of God coming through you. And you say, you speak to, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in your heart. But whatsoever you say shall come to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you say it. Say it, baby. Say it. Amen. So she kept saying it. And I wondered, where did she get that idea? If I could just touch the hem of his garment. Where did she get that idea? Just like pull it out of the air? No. She's at home. She's studying by herself. She didn't have a commentary to go to. She didn't have Wednesday night Bible study to go to. She had to learn it on her own. And let's see where she learned it. It says in Numbers 15, if we can see that, Anthony, it says, God told Moses, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And that word corners is translated borders. Let's see what the tassels look like. They were supposed to wear those on their garments. Why? Let's look at Numbers 39. It says, and you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. God's saying, I don't trust you guys. You're not going to remember what to do. Put the tassels on there to remind you to follow. The Lord is always trying to get us to follow the word of the Lord. Is that not true? And it even got worse. Look what he did. It says here, and you shall have, in verse 6, And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Talk about the Lord when you rise up. When you walk by the way, when you sit by the house, when you go to bed, what? Talk about the Lord. Talk about the Lord all the time. Do you ever go to people's houses and they never talk about the Lord? You wonder, like, what, are you guys Christians or what? You know, what are you thinking? You know, talking about the game and this and that and the economy. Talk about the Lord. That's where you get the, you know, fulfillment in your life. So, and here's what God wanted them to do. He said in verse 8, you shall bind them, the words that I gave you, as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, he said, I want you to put a box. Let me see that picture of that guy dressing up his son. How would you like to go to school like this? Dad, none of the other kids are doing this. I got a box on top of my head with the words of the Lord. I got it strapped to my arm so that I won't forget him, so I can look at him. And then he got it written on the house and in the gates. Okay, all right, I get it already. We have to do that too. You ever put scriptures on your mirror? Or even we have them here on the walls. We have scriptures to remind us. You know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You got to keep reminding yourself, telling yourself. And so she found out, okay, so the tassel's there. Now, let's look at this even more. It says in Numbers 15, it says, so the woman knew that the men of God would wear the tassels. And in Malachi 4, here's how she put these two together. In Malachi 4, it says, according to the prophecy in Malachi 4:2, it says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healings in his wings. And that's translated borders. So what she's saying is, in those borders, in those tassels, is healing. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the tassels, I'll get healed. How did she put that together? I don't know. It's kind of like Peter. He found out that Judas was going to be the betrayer and that they needed to replace him with somebody else. They already knew. They saw the scriptures. We have to dig down deep. One minister actually saw Jesus, and Jesus told him some things, and he said, I've never found that in the scriptures. And Jesus had to tell him, there's a lot of things in there that you haven't found out yet. You just keep searching, because I will show you. And when we get to heaven, we're going to find out a whole bunch of stuff about the Lord. Isn't it exciting? For all of eternity, we're going to keep finding out new things about the Lord. When we cry out, holy, 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 we're going to see a new glimpse of God and his holiness and who he is and what he is. Praise God. One brother said he went to heaven and he saw the throne room, and it was massive. It wasn't just a small room. It was massive. It extended for, you know, far as the eye could see. And he asked the Lord, why do you let me see this? He says, just I want to show you how awesome I am, how great he is. We can't imagine how awesome and how great he is. Praise the Lord. So she felt that if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And it says, the Son of Righteousness. And you notice it's spelled S-U-N, right? But the Lord is considered a sun and a shield, as it says in Psalms 84. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. So he's considered the sun, because when we get to heaven, guess what? There is no S-O-N or S-U-N. There is no. He is the light that lights up the whole heavens. Isn't that, so there's no shadows. There's always light coming from every which way. He is, and I like this, he's a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's us. Hallelujah. He's not withholding any good thing from us that walk uprightly. That's the trick. Walk uprightly as much as you can. Praise the Lord. So the second step is to say it, not once, but continually. Now, I'm going to show you a little video that they have. Maybe Richard can turn out the lights for us, and Anthony will play it, just so you get a visual picture of this woman.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean.
Teacher!
A rabbi has a pressing mouth or a head.
Teacher!
it. It's just the fringe. One touch. One thread. One thread. Just the edge. Only a thread.
You! I know you! Get away from him!
Stop it, please!
Rabbi Yosef! Rabbi Yosef!
This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, please, I promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Sorry. Try tomorrow.
Oh, please, just a moment. Jesus Christ!
Everybody back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me. Touched me. Come forward,
teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled, and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased. No one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. Your faith. Jesus. Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her. She.
Praise the Lord. Is that touching or not, huh? Yeah. Amen. That's the desperation that you have to want to get healed, that you fight through the crowd and just touch the hem of his garment, and you shall be made well. What do you believe in God for? You have to put a lot of effort into it to receive what God... And you notice what he called her? Daughter. It's the only place in the Bible where he called someone daughter. But guess what? He calls us sons and daughters too. And so the Bible says that the healing is meant for the children, the children's bread. That's us. We're entitled to healing. And we're entitled to anything else that we have. You know, prosperity, for sound mind, for good relationships. That's what God wants for us. Praise the Lord. So the second step, you see how she was continuing to say. And who initiated the power of healing? It wasn't Jesus. He was just walking, but she initiated it. We can initiate it ourselves by reaching out and touching the scriptures, the word of God, and put it into our heart. And then something happens. Electricity happens. God comes in and does. And I can feel when I'm praying for people, I can feel the flow of the Lord, the power of the Lord going into people to heal them. Because God wants to heal us. He's not holding back any good thing from us. He wants to heal us. He wants us to have peace in our minds and in our hearts. He wants to save our whole spirit, soul, and body. Praise the Lord. So she found out that what she did, and all, it doesn't say, in another part of the scripture, it says, all denied that they touched him. He looked around and said, who touched me? I didn't touch you. I didn't touch you. I didn't touch you. I didn't eat the cookies. I didn't. And he said, she was fearing and trembling because she knew she was unclean. She wanted to just get her healing and split and get out of town, right? But she was found out. But look what she did here. His Bible says, let's look at verse 32. It says, and he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and did what? Told him the whole truth. This must have taken a couple of minutes for her to tell the whole story. And that's important, to testify what the Lord has done. She had to say, you know, I've been sick for 12 years. I went to the doctors. Nothing happened. I was believing God. I studied the scriptures. I found out that if I could touch the tassel, the hem of his garment, I should be made whole because he is the son of righteousness. And that's what we have to do. We have to tell our story. Rudy tells his story about how he was in a coma and how he didn't know if he was going to make it and how Gina came to the church and kept believing. They tell the whole story. And then God healed them. So that's what we have to do. She didn't just wake up one morning and go, I'm just going to touch his hem of his garment. No, she was imagining what was going to happen, believing and confessing that if I may only touch the hem of his garment. Now, I want to show you. So some people ask me, when you go to get prayed for, is it your faith or is it the person that's praying? What's the answer to that? Both, right? But could the person praying have the complete faith? Yes, it's possible, because maybe when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus didn't have any faith. He was dead, right? The man at the pool of Bethesda, they asked him, do you want to be made whole? He says, no one can put me into the water so that I may be healed. He healed him anyway, even though he didn't have the faith to believe it, right? The woman at the gate, when Peter and John were walking. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He pulled him up, and he got healed. So it's not really one person or another. It could be both. I hear the story, this children's church pastor, they were on camp. They were in camp, and they had this one kid that was just causing so much trouble. Anybody know that kid? Not doing the right thing, running around, couldn't control him. And so at the end of the week, he came to the pastor and said, Pastor, I got this rash. Could you pray for me? And he's thinking in his mind, there's no way God's going to heal him. He's been a renegade the whole week. So he just laid hands on him and said, Father, I just thank you that this rash goes away in the name of Jesus. And guess what? The Lord healed him. Healed the little boy. Why? It was his faith, believing that if he went to the pastor, he would get healed. He initiated the healing virtue. You can initiate it. Sometimes people come to me. They want to get healed. They want to be prayed for. And I just pray. And because of what they're believing, it happens. Not my faith, but God's faith. Now, here's the amazing part. Ready for this? In after she had done this, let's look at Matthew 14, verses 34. After she had done it, she was a forerunner for people to believe God by touching the hem of his garment. Sometimes I learn from other people how to believe God for healing, how to believe God for finances. I remember one time a guy named Mario Murillo, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he came to our church, real popular guy, and he told me how the Lord provided for him. I go, really? He goes, yeah, because he was in San Francisco. He got like 2,000 people, 2,000 students saved when they had the, in Berkeley, where they had all those student uprisings, and he was having a revival, and he got 2,000 students. So after it was all over, after a couple of months, the Lord asked him, well, what do you want? He said, well, I would like a Porsche. I'd like to have a Porsche. That would be nice. And the Lord said, I'm going to send you to a guy who owns a Porsche dealership, and I'll put it in his heart to give you a Porsche. He said, really? He said, yeah. So he went there, and the guy said, yeah, I believe the Lord wants me to give you a Porsche for all the work that you've done. Gave him a Porsche, Not that he's working for a Porsche, but, you know. You know, in a company, if you do good, don't they give you a car sometimes? Hey, well, so God is not stingy. So the guy gave him a Porsche, and that dealer who was struggling became one of the top 10 dealerships in all of the nation, all of the United States, because he obeyed God and he planted seed. So when I see people giving, I go, like, the Lord's going to reward you for that. He doesn't miss any time that you give to him. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Praise God. So look at this. When they came, when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and besought him. And they besought him that they might touch only the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Wait a minute. This lady did it, and they said, hey, if it worked for her, it'll work for us. So get the sick people. Bring them in. Just touch the hem of his garment. Watch God work. Amen. If you hear a testimony of what God is doing for some, he's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. Right? It gets even more grandiose. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And I look at that word cast. And you know what the definition of cast is? Do we have it up there? To fling with a quick toss, to deposit as if a load, by extension, to disperse, to scatter abroad, to throw. They were just throwing the sick people. Here, Jesus, here, take the how about this guy? This guy needs some help. He's lame. He's blind. They figured something out. They figured that if they could believe by faith, God would work a miracle. Amen? They forget about the praying. Just throw them. Cast them. Just touch the hem of his garment. Praise God. It wasn't it Peter that would walk through the streets and just the shadow would heal the people? They found out something. Amen. All I'm saying is you guys find something. Find out a way that God wants to show you how to believe him for finances, for healing, for a personal relationship. He's there to help us. Praise God. Now, here's the thing. I take the pressure off you because it's really not your faith. Let's look at Acts 3. When Peter and John healed that guy at the gate, here's what he said when they asked him, how did you do that? And he said, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The faith that comes what? Through him. Through him. He's the one that gives you the faith. It's not even my faith. Well, my faith, you know. Please, give me a break, okay? Galatians 2:20, what does it say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me, and the faith that I live now, the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the faith of Jesus going through you that you get from the Word and you get from his direction, guiding and directing you. It takes all the pressure off of you, right? You know, like I said, when I had lymphoma, and they were going to cut my throat to get the lump out. They said, well, you know, there's a little bit of danger because you might hit a vocal cord and that would, like, you couldn't talk anymore. I go, well, that wouldn't work. So I said, I'm just going to believe God. And I heard about this lady and they sent her home to die. She only had like 2 weeks to live. And she just petitioned the Lord. Just said, Lord, I know your word is true. You know, you can go to a healing evangelist, and sometimes you get healed, sometimes you don't. It's kind of like, we don't know. You know, I see the guys on the YouTube, and I go to their meetings. Not everybody gets healed. Why? I don't know. But they don't. But for sure, I know people that believe in the Lord and believe in his word. They will get healed. That's the promise of the Lord. So I would be saying that over and over and over again, and I saw God work. Because I didn't want to have him cut my throat. And so I just kept confessing, believing, and sure enough, it happened. So here's the steps, and I'll end with this. It says the last four things, yeah. Steps to apply for your faith. Find a scripture that fits your need, right? A lot of people say, I'm just believing God. Well, how? What are you believing? I'm just believing he's going to be good. He's going to do something. Yeah, but he likes to work off of Scripture, off his word. Praise the Lord. I know when I was in school, Brother Don, they would ask me, you know, how I felt about the Revolutionary War. How did I, you know, that was the question. Give me your observations of the Revolutionary War. So I would tell them how I felt about it and everything, my own opinion. And I got back a C. I go, what is this C? You asked for my opinion. They didn't want my opinion. They wanted to know, what does the book say? What did they say in the book? Tell me the four things that they... So I said, oh, okay. So the next test, they asked, what is, you know, the reason for such and such? And so I just went to the book and said, okay, I just copied what was in the book. That was on the test. And guess what? I got an A. I wasn't even thinking. They didn't want my opinion. God wants to know, do you know what's in the book? Just feed me back what's in the book so that I can work in your behalf. So find a scripture that fits your need. Continually say the scripture as it is yours. Believe that it's yours, that he spoke it to you. Daughter, son, your faith has made you whole. And then ask for the Lord's direction. He'll guide and direct you in which way you're supposed to go. Sometimes it's go to a certain place. Sometimes it's do a certain thing. But find out what he wants you to do. It's like a journey. You know, it's a pathway. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Am I doing the right thing? Praise God. And then have patience that it's working. Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises. A lot of times we give up before it's manifested. God wants us to continually believe in him. Amen. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for revealing some truths out of your word that we can trust and believe in you for all the promises that you've given to us. We thank you that we find the scripture that applies to our situation, that we can speak it out of our mouth because that's what you want to hear. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll direct us in the way we're supposed to go and that we'll have patience to know that you're working together for our good. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to worship the Lord in our communion right now. Jesus said when he was on the with his disciples, he said, I'm going to give you my body. I'm going to give you my blood. So it'll be a sacrifice so that you can come into fellowship with the Father, that you can be adopted into the family of God. Isn't that good news? They didn't understand it. They didn't understand it in the Last Supper. They go, what are you talking about? But we're going to do it. But he said, as oft as you do it, do it in remembrance of me. Remember the sacrifice that I made for you. Amen. What does that scripture said? For a good man, some may die, but only Jesus died for us who were sinners. So, Father, I just thank you that as we take communion, we remember the sacrifice that you gave to us. You gave your life for us. You came down from heaven, took on an earth suit, walked the dusty streets of Galilee, ministered to us, loved us, ate with us, laughed with us, healed the sick. So, Father, we thank you for your Son. We bless this cup that symbolizes the blood of Jesus. We bless this bread symbolizing the body that was given to us. We ask you to bless our hearts as we receive from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.